Today's reading is in the book of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. John, chapter 1, starting in verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." As we began yesterday, I mentioned that, you know, we were going to have the calling of the disciples and that they had likely heard some of this exchange with John the Baptist at the baptism of Jesus. And John is revealing some of that here for us in this passage for today's reading. But you have John stating, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And as I've mentioned before, you know, the Jews would have understood that type of symbolism of him being the Lamb of God. They knew what a lamb would be for in terms of serving God, that it would be a sacrificial lamb. And so John is stating something here that the disciples struggle with understanding later on when Jesus begins telling them that he was going to be crucified. We even have recently read in Mark and saw that, you know, Peter didn't want that to happen, thought he could stop that from happening, but that was not the case. But as soon as he states this, there's a couple of John's disciples that are standing there, and they hear him say this, and because he identifies him as the Lamb of God, they understand the implication, and they follow Jesus. So they heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. That's all it says. So there's something sparked within them. But remember, John the Baptist was to prepare the way for Jesus. So there may have been some other discussions along the way, similar to what he talked about earlier in the chapter when he said, "He who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." There was probably some other teachings for John's disciples along the way that prepared them for the coming of Jesus and for them to follow him. So that's probably why once he makes this statement, they just walk away from the one they've been with for a long time and they follow Jesus. John had prepared them for that. I fully believe that. A lot of times, two men who are teachers might have some level of competition between them for, you know, followers or students or achievements, something along those lines. But between John the Baptist and Jesus, who is the Christ, there's no competition. John was ready for Jesus to come, and John always knew Jesus was going to come, and he was ready to stand aside for Jesus to take over. But as Jesus begins garnering a few disciples, we see them begin to tell others about him. "Hey, listen, I found the Christ. Come and see. I found the one whom the law and the prophets talk about. Come and see." We see a lot of that type of activity going on. In fact, When Andrew finds Peter, he says, "We have found the Messiah." They absolutely were beginning to identify that Jesus was who he would claim to be, even though later on, I think they struggled a little bit sometimes with who Jesus was, not quite meeting their expectations either. But Nathanael makes this statement that a lot of us tend to remember. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he's thinking that, you know, there's nothing noteworthy. There's nothing exceptional that comes out of Nazareth. And so he's expressing some bias, you know, looking down a little bit on the idea of somebody coming from Nazareth. But when Jesus talks with him and talks about him, he identifies Nathanael as an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit, or maybe you have a version that reads no guile. In other words, he's honest and he's sincere. He speaks his mind. He's not going to, you know, say one thing and be thinking another. No, he speaks what's on his mind. So he didn't offend Jesus, but Jesus changes his mind pretty fast. But I like Philip's answer to him as well. Come and see. So can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, come see for yourself. Don't take my word for it or anybody else's. Just come see for yourself. And so when Jesus sees him coming, he makes this statement about him being an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit or guile. And Nathanael's wondering, how do you know me? We've never met before. I don't have any recollection of you. Well, Jesus says, before Philip called you, okay? So before there was any connection between them at all, even through other people, he says, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, presumably alone. And so Nathanael recognizes that this is, you know, the power of God to see one whom they're not in the presence of. And he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He changes his tune really quick from, can anything good come out of Nazareth, to, you're the King of Israel. You're really the Messiah. There's another implication within this exchange too. When Nathanael asks that question, how do you know me, is because Jesus talks of Nathanael's character. You know that he's an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. That's his character. How do you know my character? Even if Jesus had seen him, you know, with his own eyes, even if he had seen him from afar, you wouldn't know anything about a man's character based on that. But he makes a statement about his character. That's why he asks, how do you know me? Not know what I look like, not know where I come from, but know my character. Well, when he does make this statement, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel, Jesus says, you'll see greater things than these. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows all the things that he's going to do. And John records quite a few of them for us. And so there are going to be greater things for him to see. And then he makes this statement in 51. You will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He won't just see, you know, some interesting miraculous events. He's going to see some spiritual truths. He's going to have the heavens revealed to him. He's going to get to see things and see into things in a way that other people just are not able to see, because he's going to follow Jesus. And so, you know, we're in that position of Nathanael sometimes. You know, we're off all alone, kind of with our own thoughts. Maybe we're spending some time in prayer. But remember, Jesus sees you. Not just what you're doing at the moment or what you're, you know, where you are. Jesus knows you. He knows your character. He knows your heart. He sees deep within man in a way that no man can see another man. Only God can do this. He knows what we like. He knows what our desires are. He knows what our temptations are. He knows what our sins are. Everything is exposed to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our King, part of that Godhead. There is absolutely nothing about us that escapes his notice. And so, how well do we know Jesus? Are we taking the time to get to know him and know him better. That's what I want to leave you with today for our prayer for today, is that Jesus will be one that we know intimately as well. He's revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. All we need to do is do the work to get to know him. Cultivate that personal relationship with him, that I desire him, and that my desire for Jesus outgrows my desire for anything else in this world. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.